Now, if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me this evening to the book of Genesis and chapter 16. Genesis and chapter 16, and we'll read this chapter together. Genesis and chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my master, mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beersheba, behold, it is between Kadesh and Berea. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. People tell you the Muslim and the Christian, they worship the same God. No, they do not. No, they do not. The Christian worships Jehovah, the God of the Bible, the great Jehovah God that the Jews worshipped. And the Jews brought to us the Word of God, and they brought to us a Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to remind ourselves of that. A lot of anti-Semitism in the world today, a lot of hatred against God's ancient people. Great hatred against them. Well, we can't hate the Jews because they're the apple of God's eye. They're his ancient people. And God, one of these days, is going to turn back again to his people when he calls the church home at the rapture. Takes the church, every believer in Jesus Christ, every born-again Christian, everyone that has come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, has been born again and been indwelt by the Spirit of God. There's a moment coming when Christ will come to the air. The trump of God will sound, and the Lord's people, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That day is coming. It's absolutely certain that it's coming. And when that day happens, then God starts working upon his ancient people. We have a 7-year period of tribulation. It'll be a terrible time for the Jews, because only a third of them will survive the tribulation period, one third. But from that third, God will turn the Jewish nation into an amazing race in the millennial kingdom of Christ. Everybody will want to be Jews, because the blessing of God will be upon them so wonderfully and so powerfully. But there's a vast difference between the God of the Bible, Jehovah, and Allah that the Muslim worship. Allah was the moon god, worshipped for centuries by heathenism, before Muhammad came along. He is not the God of the Bible. He's very different from the God of the Bible. He's a false deity. He's a delusion. No Allah exists. And for people, and sadly people that should know better, to identify the moon god, Allah, with Jehovah, the God of the Bible, is one of the greatest insults imaginable, one of the greatest insults that could be hurled in the face of God Almighty. No, Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible. Now, I purpose this evening to give you a little background to Islam. I won't have time to do that properly, but I'll try and run through just a little bit about Muhammad, because you may not be very familiar with Muhammad. Now, Muhammad founded Islam in 622 AD. In 1610, Muhammad was in a cave, and he claimed Gabriel came to him in his sleep and made him read a message that he believed was from God. Actually, I'm telling you wrong. Muhammad was terrified and thought that he had met a demon. But his wife, Khadijah, and her cousin persuaded him he had met Gabriel. Muhammad believed the words he read were written on his heart. For 12 years, he preached in Mecca a peaceful message. He was peaceful to start off with. The Meccans were polytheists. They believed in many gods. And they hated him. And persecution followed. And he was invited to Medina, 300 miles away from where he was, in 622. And it was in Medina that the Muslims grew and developed. For 10 years, Muhammad attacked the Meccan caravans as they came to Mecca. And after that period, he overcame them. Anyone who opposed him was slaughtered without mercy. He accepted no dissent. Very ruthless in his dealings with others. Although married, he took a child bride of 6 years old, Aisha, and consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old. That tells you the sort of man he was. He was a pedophile. In today's society, he would be in jail. Terrible. Now, Islam still practices the same. They still practice the same thing. When Muslim armies capture women and girls, they rape them and sell them for sex slaves. So Islam remains the same. No wonder there's such fear in Afghanistan. Every woman, every young girl knows what lies ahead. That's the kind of treatment they're going to receive. That's why there's such abnormal fear. For the Taliban, no matter how they have tried to present themselves that they're different, just wait and see. There's no difference. These are barbarians, untouched by the grace of God, untouched by the Spirit of God, and they'll do anything despicable. They'll shed blood. They'll plunder. They are evil, evil people. They know no better. They have embraced a false philosophy, and they believe that if they're warriors and they go out and kill and slaughter, and they're killed in so doing, that they're going to paradise where there's 71 young virgins waiting for every one of them. That's horrible, the view of Islam. It's absolutely terrible. Now, after Muhammad's death, there was a power struggle in the family in the midst of Islam. Islam divided into two. You know that there's Sunni Muslims and there's Shiite Muslims. Now, the Shiites comprise 85% of Islam today. 85% of Muslims today are Shiite. 15% are 85% are Sunni, 15% are Shiites. And Iran and Iraq, you find the Shiites mostly. And Shiites are the most dangerous of them all. Now, the Shiite Muslims divided again into three. They're nearly as bad as the Christian church. Divided into three. In passing, can I say there's never been a period of division like what we're experiencing in the Christian church today. Everywhere you look, there's fellowship starting up all over our country. Now, I could go along with that if it was just a matter of leaving a church because of doctrine, that you disagreed with the doctrine. That's the only justification you have if you're changing church. There must be a doctrine that you're unhappy with that doesn't, for you, tally with the Word of God. That's why I left the church that I belong. Fell out with no one. Didn't even say I was leaving. Didn't fall out with anyone. If you fall out and go and join somewhere else, that's no way to leave a church. And that's what's happening. That people, just maybe for the sake of entertainment, they're going somewhere else to be entertained. They think it's wonderful. But let's get back to where we were about the Muslims, about the Shiites dividing into three. And they're known as fivers or seveners or twelvers. By that five, the fivers believe in five iman leaders, five leaders, imams, five of them. Seveners believe in seven imams. Twelvers believe in 12 imams. And they're the most dangerous because they believe that in 1874, the leading imam went down a well. Where do you hear this? The most preposterous, ridiculous nonsense you ever heard. He went down a well, and they communicated with him by dropping notes down the well. Tall order. And in process of time, they built a mosque over the well. And they're now waiting his return, the return of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, they call him. You'll hear Muslims talk about the return of the Mahdi to set up a Muslim caliphate in the world. That's their aim. They're waiting on the return of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi. And they believe that they can hasten his return by creating the most mayhem and murder and slaughter and war that they can get involved in. So look out. Look out. These people are not peaceable. The nations of the world have tried to tell us today Islam's a peaceable religion. A peaceable religion? Absolutely not. Bloodthirsty. I'll admit there are Muslims that are decent people. They haven't all gone down that road. But when do you hear moderate, they talk about moderate Islam. When do you hear moderate Islam raise its voice against the atrocities that Islam commit from time to time? I've yet to hear it. They say nothing. They say nothing. They let the extremists get away with it. That's the picture of Islam. Fundamental Islam. Islamic fundamentalism. That's the road it has, that it goes down. That's the ideology that they have embraced. Bloodshed, slaughter, butchery unimaginable. The hatred and the violence and the wickedness of Islamic fundamentalism. And that's what the actions of President Biden has brought about. He has encouraged every Muslim extremist in the world. Every Islamic fundamentalist group in the world are encouraged, and they're already threatening what they're going to do, because America now is looked upon, and Britain too, as weak nations with weak leaders who will surrender and who will give in. Could you ever have imagined the great nation of America pleading with madmen like the Taliban to let their people go? It cries to heaven. It's a shame in the world of today. I tell you, we're in alarming times, and they're not going to get better, I want to tell you. Bible tells us evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These are the times in which you and I live. And there's a vast, vast difference. I repeat it again. A vast difference between the God of the Bible, Jehovah, a merciful God, and the God, so-called God Allah, that the Muslims worship. Someone tells you we all worship the same God. Have none of it. Have none of it. We don't worship the same God. We worship a loving, merciful God who sent a son into this world, who went to the cross, made an atonement for the sins of a lost mankind, made it possible that guilty sinners And you and I were as guilty as anyone else before we found the mercy and the forgiveness of God. That guilty sinners, as the hymn writer put it, guilty sinners such as I should plead his precious name.